This is Morning Edition on KUNC. I'm Erin O'Toole. More visitors came to Colorado last year than ever before, almost 78 million people. And that brought more than $19 billion to the economy. Iconic places like Rocky Mountain National Park and Hanging Lake are certainly a big part of the attraction. But there's a dilemma. Many trails and hot springs are now overflowing with people, and crowded parking lots prompt frustration and sometimes even fistfights. Today, we start a week-long series exploring the problem and possible solutions of Colorado places that are being loved to death. I'm joined by state historian Patty Limerick, also with the University of Colorado Boulder's Center for the American West. Patty, thanks so much for talking with us about this today.
Oh, a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start with a term that was new to me, probably will be to most people, but I think it's relevant to this issue, and it's called the Stephen Mather paradox. What is that?
Well, it is not a household phrase, but we are going to change that, Erin. We are just going to turn that around today.
Right here and now.
Yes. So Stephen Mather was an extremely interesting person who was the first director of the National Park Service and an important figure in the creation of the National Park Service in 1916. He had made his money in borax mining, and there is a paradox that we just begin with that one, that this is a man who had the leisure and the influence and the standing to really press for the case of the national parks because of his history in mining. He had an extremely complicated personality. He seems to have been pretty clearly manic depressive. And the good news is that the manicness was extremely important in persuading people, engaging people, and talking to congressmen and talking to citizens. And then the depressive part was there's nothing to be said for that except that he should have been spared that. Mm. So what an interesting man. He very accurately sized up the situation that in creating the national parks, they simply had to have a significant use by the American citizens or the parks would not have political support. So Stephen Mather knew right from the beginning that he had to make the parks visible, attractive, magnetic, that he had to make them accessible, open to public visitation, or they wouldn't make it.
And I've read that traveling with his wife to Europe, where he saw the accessibility of their parklands to the public, inspired Mather to work not only to preserve and protect more land here in the U.S., but at the same time encourage the availability of transportation methods like railroads and cars for people, ordinary people, to get out and visit these lands. And that was kind of at odds with what some people like well-known naturalist John Muir were advocating for.
That was a paradox even in his time, as some more of the John Muir sorts had a we should keep it very undeveloped, we shouldn't have roads, we should just let people hike and find their own way here. Right. Well, Mather just thought, we really can't afford that. We really do need to be making it accessible and possible for regular citizens to visit here. It took a while to make that economically affordable for working class citizens, but that was a vision, and he was stuck with some people just being peevish with the notion that he really supported access and availability, again, for very strong political reasons.
Right.
And convincing political reasons.
And it does make sense. If no one can go to places like national parks, who is going to care about them?
All the economists tell us things grow in value. There's an economic pattern by which scarcity and rarity makes things more valuable. So it could be we could look back at Mather and in a hindsight manner to someone who's passed away, we could say, you know, it might be a little bit more complicated that to have something have value that people recognize, having to wait for it or having to sign up in a list for it. That's something people value. Tickets to rock concert. People value things we know now because they were hard to get. And people value having permits to go down the Grand Canyon. So it could be that Mather might have missed. Mather was very sound in much of his thinking on this, but he might have missed the fact that human beings and American citizens, as individualistic as they can be, accept rationing and accept the notion that some goods need to be handed out in a measured, sequential way. So now as we look at overcrowding in the parks, I think it's fair to say we don't really know the whole toolkit for managing population pressures. There might actually be some ways in which when the American people want to buy a ticket to a concert, they don't insist on just going in if all the seats are filled.
Right.
So I think there's more to human psychology than Mather might have glimpsed.
That's true. And that is something we'll be exploring a little bit later in the series, too. State historian Patty Limerick, also with the University of Colorado Boulder's Center for the American West. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Oh, that was really a pleasure. Thank you so much for the occasion.
Tomorrow, we're going to visit one of those places being loved to death, Conundrum Hot Springs.
Honestly, I almost didn't even want to come up this weekend. Like, I don't know if I even want to bother with it. Like, the parking lot's going to be obscene and people drinking and smoking. And I don't want to sit in a crowded tub either.
Join us tomorrow at this time on Morning Edition. And you can follow our series all this week at KUNC.org.